Thank you for joining us on History FM Radio on liveparanormal.com and history.fm. From paranormal to the unexplained history, it all happens here. Looking to enhance your radio experience? Participate in live interactive chat 24/7 with our radio show hosts and other like-minded people on www.liveparanormal.com, the only interactive social chat room supported by full interactive media. Stop by now and join in on the fun.
This is Dana Workman from Haunted Highway on Sci-Fi, and you're listening to the Ghost Host, Sophia Temporelli, on liveparanormal.com. Boom.
This is Bill Murphy of Sci-Fi Channel's Fact or Fake Paranormal Files, and you're listening to the Ghost Host, Sophia Temporelli, on liveparanormal.com.
Hey everybody, this is Rex Williams, the medic from Destination Truth, and you're listening to the Ghost Host, Sophia, on liveparanormal.com.
This is True TV's haunting evidence investigator, Patrick Burns.
And Ghost Huntress author, Marley Gibson.
And you're listening to Ghost Host, Sophia Temporelli.
And Michael Perry.
And we're here. Hello, we're here at the Ghost Host with Sophia Temporelli and weekly at liveparanormal.com.
This is Stefan Brigati from Pacific Coast Paranormal, and you're listening to the Ghost Host, Sophia Temporelli, on liveparanormal.com. She rocks.
This is Christopher Sanders with My Ghost Story on Biography. You are listening to The Ghost Host with Sophia Temporelli on liveparanormal.com.
Hi, this is Professor Lloyd Auerbach, parapsychologist, and you're listening to The Ghost Host with Sophia Temporelli on liveparanormal.com.
This is author Alexandra Holzer, and you're listening to Ghost Host Sophia Temporelli.
Hi, this is Jeff Belanger, host of 30-odd Minutes, founder of GhostVillage.com, and author of lots of your favorite paranormal books, and you're listening to the Ghost Host Sophia on liveparanormal.com. Boo!
This is Nick Roth, executive producer of Ghost Adventures, the original documentary in Ghost Adventures, season 1 through 10, and executive producer of Ghost Stalkers, author of Chasing Spirits, the building of the Ghost Adventures crew, and founder of NickRothTours.com. You are listening to the Ghost Host, Sophia Temporelli, on liveparanormal.com. Tune in.
Hey, this is Zach Bagans from Ghost Adventures, and you are listening to the Ghost Host, Sophia Temporelli, on liveparanormal.com.
Hey, everybody, this is Jeff Belanger, writer and researcher for Ghost Adventures. I'm an author, the writer, host, and producer of New England Legends, the television series, and the podcast. And I just love all things spooky, and I love that Sophia Temporelli has made it 10 years, a decade of broadcasting on liveparanormal.com. Congratulations, that's an incredible accomplishment, and please stay spooky, Sophia.
That's right, 10 years of broadcasting here on Live Paranormal, a decade on liveparanormal.com and History FM. Congratulations, Sophia. Actually, it's a month into those 10 years now. So congratulations, Sophia, on a decade on Live Paranormal. Everyone, feel free to call into the show, 347-202-0316. That's 347-202-0316. As well, feel free to jump into liveparanormal.com chat room. It only takes a second to sign in, get yourself an avatar, and you're part of the LP family. I'll post all our guests, all the information, all the links into the chat room too as well through the course of the show. Thank you, Rob Sirk, the site founder of Live Paranormal, for providing this format each and every week, and all of to all of our moderators. Guys, thank you for patching us through at live events when we had no internet feed whatsoever. Thank you guys for all your help throughout the years on this show. We hope everyone's keeping safe. Today we welcome the House in Between, Sleepless, Unrest co-producers, filmmakers, and seasoned paranormal investigators, Kendall and Vera Welton. Everyone visit thesleeplessunrest.com. That's thesleeplessunrest.com. Facebook at The Sleepless Unrest. Twitter at Sleepless Unrest, at Kendall Welton, at Vera Welton, and hashtag too, if you're posting along the way, hashtag Sleepless Unrest. And also go to the YouTube and subscribe to Robot Ninja Media, and also too to view the trailers for Sleepless Unrest. A lot of action in this, and they don't just cover the house itself. They go underneath it. They go in the well. They go everywhere for these investigations. This is a fantastic documentary. So check out the trailers right now. And also you can watch too as well. And upcoming, we have My Entertainment Podcast, development executive Rob Cohen will be on next weekend, the 14th. Also, OC Paracon founder Henry San Miguel will be on the program on the 28th. The California event, it's going to be the first one here, actually, that I've seen. So October 1st and 2nd, so visit ocparacon.com. That's ocparacon.com. Also, psychic author Sky Ray, she'll be promoting her new book, Find Your Voice in the Darkness. That'll be on September 11th. So you don't want to miss any of these upcoming broadcasts. So like the ghost host, Sophia Temporelli, on liveparanormal.com. Facebook fan page to learn of the guests as we learn of them real time. Also, like liveparanormal.com, the face page. There's a lot of great new broadcasters added to the lineup here, a lot of paranormal field expert roundtables on the weekends here as well on Live Paranormal. And check out the membership packages. They start as low as $2.99 a month. And Rob Sarek, the site founder, he's great at rewarding the audience. So a lot of giveaways, DVDs, books by some of your favorite authors are all for the members here on Live Paranormal. And also support the vendors here too as well. So if you're getting grandma a mail meter for a birthday, make sure you do it here with the vendors. Also tonight on Live Paranormal, starting at 7 p.m. Eastern, Beyond the Screen and Ghostlight Radio, as well as monthly Mondays right here, Chip Coffey of A&E's Paranormal State, Psychic Kids, and now on Kindred Spirits, as well as other broadcasters here too, Ben Hansen, Amy Goodwin, David M. Roundtree, Stefan Brigatti, Andy and Michelle Kopic, Ken Gearhart, and many more right here on this very network. If you miss anything, free MP iTunes downloads are available immediately following this broadcast for the archive show. But let's bring on the ghost host here, Sophia, as we unmute. There we go. Sophia, congratulations. 10 years, a decade on this network. Congratulations, Sophia.
Thank you. I can't believe it's already been 10 years.
No, that it flew by. I mean, you're sitting here right next to me at one point when you first started this, and it's like if you build it, they'll come. Everybody started booking themselves after that. So you're doing a fantastic job. You've helped a lot of people, you know, with home hauntings and kids with psychic ability issues through the years. And yeah, it does seem like yesterday, but you've done a great job, Sophia. You got all these things. You got the Twitter, the Instagram, all this stuff everywhere. Where can people find you?
I'm on Instagram at Sophia Temporelli and Twitter just at Sophia Temporelli with one L because you gave me too long of a name.
Yes, we cursed you with a long name. If your middle name was in there too, you'd be the, you know, with Francesca in there, it's just like you couldn't get on any social
media. Well,
it's
just why when you were picking a name, could you not take into account the Twitter character limit? I really feel like that was just not enough foresight.
Well, you couldn't just be like Sally Temporelli or something like that. I mean, you know, so yeah, we, Mom, Dad, we put a lot of thought into your name. Come on, give us a little credit here. But tell us
Mom
about your guest
today. Mom put a lot of thought into it. Don't take Mom.
Well,
credit.
I wasn't just, you know, reading a book at the time or something. We threw names back and forth. And
Stefania. You went with Stefania. So Mom put a lot of thought into it.
Yeah, people could have made fun of you on the playground and stuff with that one. But tell us about our guest today, Sophia.
Today we welcome filmmakers, co-producers, and paranormal investigators Kendall and Vera Welton. They join forces with Ghost Hunter series paranormal researchers Brian Murray and Rochelle Stratton to make the investigative documentary The Sleepers Unrest, The Real Conjuring Home. and both join us on today's show. Everyone visit thesleeplessunrest.com, Facebook at The Sleepless Unrest, Twitter at Sleepless Unrest, at Kendall Welpson, at Vera Welpson, YouTube, subscribe, Robot Ninja Media for official trailers. Let's welcome Kendall and Vera into the show.
Okay, it usually means there's a lot of people. I'm still trying to unmute. There we go. We got you both in there. Thanks for coming on.
Hello. Hey.
Hi.
Can you hear me? Yeah. Thank you both so much for coming on today.
Thank you for having us again. Yeah.
Yeah, it's always great having you on, and congratulations on the Sleepless Unrest.
Thank you.
So to start off, can you tell us a little bit about the Sleepless Unrest and where people can find it?
Go ahead, Kendall.
Yeah, so the Sleepless Unrest, what an adventure. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Literally, we got a call from Brian Murray and Rochelle Stratton. Hey, do you want to go hang out at the Conjuring House? And Sarah and I were like, well, let's do that. So, 2 weeks later, we're jumping in the car with all our cameras and just filming the whole experience from start to finish. That's the premise of the movie.
We were supposed to just go hang out and, you know, we were invited to just investigate and hang out with our friends. So, you know, I told Kendall, I need a little more motivation because that was a very intimidating house for me. I told him, do you think they will let us film? And he said, I highly doubt it. And I told him, you know, we don't lose anything by asking. So we asked, and Corey and Jen Heinzen were super welcoming. They were amazing. They were actually excited that we were interested in filming. So they welcomed us. They said, come over. Like, how long do you want to stay? He's like, how long can we stay? And we ended up staying longer than I thought. But it worked out. It was great. Kendall packed the car with so many cameras. Like, seriously, like, what you saw in the film, it was all 100% real. The car was full. And we just took off and arrived and started filming immediately as soon as we arrived.
Wow. Well, the Conjuring House is such an amazing location with, you know, so much history. What was it like for you guys to be able to film such an iconic house that is really one of the most famous haunted houses in the world?
It was, what an experience. I mean, honestly, this was an opportunity of a lifetime. I think I said it in the film. It really is a very unique opportunity, really, to stay that long and be able to document and move in with Corey and Jen. I mean, that was like, and then hang out with our friends, Brian and Rochelle, just the whole thing, the whole thing, you know, the investigation, the house, the activity, everything was just so special and so just unique and different than anything we've ever done.
For sure. And, you know, although it is such an iconic location that a lot of people do know about, for those who are still unfamiliar with the Conjuring House, can you give a little bit of background and history to the location?
Go ahead, Vera.
Oh, well, what do you want me to say? This house is basically, it was one of the Ed and Lorraine Warren's biggest case that they investigated back in the 70s. The family who lived there at the time, it was the parent family, and it was, you know, a younger couple who bought a historic farm, you know, with many, many acres, and had all these girls. And they said that as soon as they moved in, they actually experienced paranormal activity from body apparitions, I mean, right away, and all kinds of strange things happened to them. And they just didn't know really what to do about it. They really didn't know what to do about it. Some of the claims, I was thinking at the top of my head, I know Cindy Perrin was tormented in her room, in her bedroom, while she was sleeping. All kinds of noises. You know, the mother will get tormented as well. And this, it wasn't just noises and paranormal activity. It was being attacked, physically attacked. And they couldn't sleep either. So, you know, to be honest, we, Kendall and I, decided not to research so much before we went to film. We actually researched after, which made things worse for me because I was like, what was I thinking? But, you know, the main thing that happened in that house is after Ed and Lorraine Warren decided to do the case and investigate the property to help them, and they tried to do a seance. It's basically one of those cases where a seance went wrong. The mother, Caroline Parent, she ended up being attacked by an entity that nobody knows exactly. I don't want to say the word possession, but it's almost like it was. They were hinting that that's kind of what happened. I wasn't there. I don't know exactly what happened, but this is just according to people's stories. Andrea Perrin, we spoke briefly with her not too long ago, and the way she described it, I mean, it was terrifying. It was terrifying. And imagine as children witnessing that happening to your mom and just not understanding what's happening in your own home. She said it so sweet. She says, we were just girls, you know, kids just trying to go to school the next day, and they were exhausted. And Kendall and I got to experience that feeling in just 2 weeks. I think they lived there for 10 years before they finally decided to move away.
Yeah, I mean, it's so difficult living in a haunted house. I mean, it's so different. It's scary. You don't feel comfortable at any point in time. And, I mean, having to, you know, I lived in a haunted house as a child. Having to deal with that and then go to school it's really hard. It takes a toll on you, you know, mentally and emotionally. So I can't even imagine, you know, with the extent that they went through, having to also live, you know, their normal lives.
Absolutely. I can't even imagine.
And with your time making this documentary, what was the most interesting fact that both of you found with the Conjuring story or, you know, just an experience that you had there?
For me, I would have to say just down in the basement, there was, you know, the basement is very creepy, very interesting. That well, I don't know why, but that well room it had my attention the whole time I was there. I don't know what it was about the well room, but it was just so drawing for me.
He kept calling you.
It did. It was interesting. Every time, like, I'd be like, hey, let's go, you know, let's go down to the well room. I just kept saying, let's go down to the well. Let's go down to the well. It was just a weird, like, draw for some reason. But also, the experience that I had there was out back of the Conjuring house in the woods.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Corey has, Heinzen, the owner, the homeowner had told us about some claims that some lights come flying out of the roof and into the tree line. So, you know, we went out back to investigate that to see if we could capture it on our EMCCD camera. And, you know, we started getting that feeling, you know that feeling when you're investigating, you get that feeling that you got eyeballs on you. Started getting that feeling out back in the woods behind us. Felt like there was just something watching us. And so hearing noises a little bit, like just some, like, you know, just some weird brush, you know, some noises, got that feeling. So we flipped the camera around and we pointed towards the woods back there. And that's when it got really exciting for us. It's in the film. I mean, it just starts interacting with some light anomalies, and then, you know, and then as the investigators, as us investigating, we went into the woods to go see what it was, and that's
it's
when
magical
things got
back there. It's crazy. Really intense too, and it was funny because we never intended to go investigate out. It was in the middle of winter. I never wanted to be back there, and but everything kept pointing to everything kept calling us out there. So throughout the days that we were there, a lot of the activity was coming from outside, which was really, really weird. So we ended up back there, and little did we know, a few months after we returned home, we found out that Andrea Parent actually has a book. I think it's called House of Light, House of Darkness, and she actually talks about the woods. And I had no idea. I had no idea because, you know, when the movie came out, they never mentioned anything about the woods. Like, again, we never did any research before we went into the house because we wanted to experience the house from zero without any influence of anything. And in fact, the movie, I couldn't even remember the movie, The Conjuring, because it had been years. All I remember was the clapping game. That's all I remember. And we didn't even mess with that. but like, you know, for me, when I was there, that dining table, that area right before you enter the dining room, there's like a door. That door gave me the creeps. Like, I never felt comfortable walking through the little hallway towards the dining room. The dining room felt like I had eyeballs on me all the time. Even if I was just going to go get coffee in the middle, in the morning, or there's a bathroom, that's where the bathroom is back there. And in the middle of the day, if I had to go to use the bathroom, like, eyeballs on me. Like, it didn't matter if I was alone. I was constantly feeling like I was being watched.
You weren't
no,
the only one
everybody,
that felt like that.
Everybody felt that way. We just never talked about it because we wanted to feel tough and be tough. But then later on, when I watched the DVR footage, I can see how everybody will pass really quickly through that door. Like, even Brian Murray, who is an ex-Marine, big tough dude, he'll be like, just going really fast past that door. And then I had no idea. I thought it was just a closet, like a linen closet or something. Well, no, that's one of the other doors to the basement. I had no idea. I was so clueless. Until much later that we found out. Because the first door that we used was the one in the parlor. And I thought that was the only door to the basement. I had no idea there was two doors. But anyway, that area right there, oh, it was intense for me. One night I was in the kitchen, kind of was doing some interviews in the library, and I was by myself in the kitchen. This is nighttime, and I'm just eating a quick snack because it had been a long day, and I feel somebody watching me just right behind me on my right. And I remember there's a camera in that area from the DVR system from the Heinsohn. So I thought, oh, it's probably them just checking the camera. Mm-hmm. That's probably what I'm feeling. But then I remember that the camera was disconnected. The camera was not on. It was not on. They were having some issues with it. And then I just decided to turn really quickly over my shoulder to see if someone was there. And sure enough, I saw the glimpse of something peeking through the window from the outside in, and then, boom, it just took off. So I ran. threw the food out, and I ran out of the kitchen towards Kendo, and I was like, Kendo, I couldn't swear that somebody was looking at me through the window from outside. He kind of just looked at me like, it's probably you know, I'm busy. I'm doing this interview. It's probably nothing. Don't worry about it. But then I was like, I'm sorry. But then Brian Murray got up, and he's like, all right, I go check out. And he did like a quick perimeter, like a check on the perimeter. He said he didn't see anything, no footprints, no nothing. Because, you know, sometimes, I mean, the Heinsohns do say people break into their property. They go and walk around the property. So I thought, well, maybe I couldn't swear it was somebody. And that day, a couple of days earlier, I scared Rochelle with a trine. I put a little stuffed animal hitting on there by her pillow that she didn't like. And she just kind of, it was like a little joke, like an innocent joke. And she got a little, you know, startled, and she's like, I'm going to get you back. So I thought, okay, this is for sure Rochelle trying to get me back. But it wasn't any of them. It wasn't any of them. But anyway, long story short, that kitchen and dining room for me was the most intense, believe it or not. Also, they did I don't want to call it a seance. It wasn't a seance, but they were doing a session with the spirit box. It was Corey, Jen, John Huntington, Brian Rochelle, and then Kango and I on the cameras, and we were just filming. We were all sitting on the dining table, and things just got crazy. And that was towards the end of our stay. I'm going to say I don't know. I can't remember what day it was. But things started just, you feel it. You feel the energy changing. Things got heavy. And you're hearing noises from all over, from under you, above you, outside, inside. You don't even know, but you don't see anything. You just feel it. And I remember Jen Hines' face looking at Corey for the first time ever. Well, you know, during the entire stay we had, she looked at him like, what's going on? Like, I don't recognize this sound. And that's when I started getting nervous, because I was like, okay, they're getting nervous, then I'm definitely getting nervous now. And then John Huntington has this crazy idea of asking the spirit box, what's her name right here? This girl with the camera. And then he said my name. I was like, okay. So anyway, I'm sorry. I'm just like talking too much now.
Yeah, that freaked
me
out.
There's so much that happened. So much that happened.
No, I mean, I totally get it. I did a paranormal report for my middle school science fair once, and I was showing people dowsing rods, and I do this thing where I put one down and then hold one up, and I'll say, like, point to where you are. And the dowsing rod was following this one girl, and that totally freaked her out. So when you get called out by ghosts, it definitely tends to startle people a little bit. I mean, I maybe shouldn't have done that to another middle school person, but it was fun. So, you know, I think that's probably how the spirits feel, too, on the other side. You have nothing else to do.
That's so awesome you did a report on paranormal in school. That's so cool.
Yeah, I mean, I've been doing this for 14 years, so, I mean, it just really follows you no matter what. But, yeah, those are crazy experiences you had. I mean, especially, I think one of the most fascinating things about the paranormal is how, like, we as humans can feel that someone is watching us, whether it's an actual person or a spirit. That feeling of knowing that someone's looking at you, I think that's one of the strangest things that, you know, we can just pick up on, even if we're not watching the actual person looking at us.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
So true. It's a very primal instinct.
I don't think we give the human senses enough credit, to be honest.
Yeah, I think it's definitely really interesting, you know, that you had that, because I think it is, you know, like Kendall said, very primal, and just one of those things that I feel like, you know, it's not talked about enough. It's just how, you know, that is one of the biggest things that we as investigators can pick up on, is just the feeling that there is something actually there without equipment, without anything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Absolutely.
So besides the sleepless unrest, you also have some sleepless unrest centered events coming up. You have a screening and camping at The Conjuring. Can you tell the audience a little bit about that and where they can buy tickets and find more information?
Yeah. So, we're going back to The Conjuring house. August 13th, Friday the 13th, we're having a camp out. We're going to actually camp out at the backyard of the Conjuring home. And Vera and I are going to bring the nail back. We were gifted a nail from the Conjuring home. You know, we just feel like it needs to go back to the Conjuring home. So we're going to bring it back. We're going to be hanging out with Brian and Rochelle, Corey and Jen Heinzen. It's going to be a fun time. And then the next day on Saturday, August 14th, we're going to have a screening of the film at the Assembly Theater right there in Harrisville. So both events are on Eventbrite. You can find it on our social media pages and our and the website, thesleeplessunrest.com. So, yeah, come join us. We have just a few spots left for the sleepover. So that's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to go into those woods. We're going to get the EMC CD camera out there again. I got a new camera I'm going to test out there. We're going to just investigate the whole property, the inside and out, for the night. So it should be fun.
Yeah, I mean, that sounds like an amazing event. People should definitely go check it out. I mean, the Conjuring House, like I said, is such an iconic location. So being able to actually spend the night there and investigate with all of you is really such an amazing opportunity. I can't wait to see what you guys capture there and just, you know, what you experience going back.
I'm nervous. I'm not going to lie. I told him, are you sure? Why are we But again, I told him, I just really want him to take the nail back just because, just to see what happens. I never been I'm not sure what to believe about haunted objects yet or not. But things have been happening in our home after we returned that I'm scratching my head a little bit, and I'm just wondering what's going to happen if I return this nail back, if things would settle. And it's not just me. At the beginning, at the wall, it's just me. You know, of course, I haven't slept, and it was one of the hardest investigations I've ever done in my life. And, of course, I'm going to be thinking about it and dreaming about it, and it's going to take me some time to get over it. But then my daughter started mentioning some things that were kind of out of character, and Kendall and I have not been talking anything about anything in front of her, and we're very careful about that because they're still very young, and so I don't know. And then after that, I found out that Rochelle and Brian are also experiencing things, and they brought things back from the house as well. So I don't know. It's going to be part of the paranormal investigation. I think we're going to do some sort of an experiment to see if things do change after we return these objects. They said they're thinking about returning them to, I don't know. Rochelle brought some dirt back, and Brian brought something else too. So we'll see.
Well, definitely be interesting to see, you know, if your experience has changed for all three of you bringing the objects back, almost like an experiment. So it'll be cool just to see, you know, kind of the aftermath and, you know, how things change for you guys in your personal lives now.
Yeah, absolutely. It will be interesting to see for sure, like you said. And we're just excited to go back. I mean, it's such a beautiful place, and the farm itself is very, very peaceful. Barry and I often talk about it. You kind of lose track of time there because it's just in its own little bubble or whatever, you know. It's gonna be nice to kind of dip back into that.
Absolutely. And I know we have to take a quick commercial break, but we'll be right back with more questions.
It's the Ghost Host Show with Sophia Temporelli on LiveParanormal.com. And there is, if you go see the trailer right now, if you go to thesleeplessunrest.com, that's thesleeplessunrest.com, there's an establishing drone shot. It really shows the isolation of that house in the forest, and I didn't know it was really like that. Everyone, today we're welcoming the House in Between, the Sleepless Unrest co-producers, filmmakers, and seasoned paranormal investigators, Kendall and Vera Welpin. So, yes, thesleeplessunrest.com for tickets and to actually view and for the different events going on, too, as well with the theater. And for the overnight, also, too, the camp out at the Conjuring House next Friday. It's the Ghost Host Show with Sophia Temporelli on LiveParanormal.com. We'll be right back with the late edition of the show.
Hi, this is Dustin Perry, the paranormal rock star, and you're listening to The Ghost Coast with the most, Sophia Temporelli, only on LiveParanormal.com.
For joining us on History FM Radio on LiveParanormal.com and History.fm. From paranormal to the unexplained history, it all happens here. Looking to enhance your radio experience? Participate in live interactive chat 24/7 with our radio show hosts and other like-minded people on www.liveparanormal.com, the only interactive social chat room supported by full interactive media. Stop by now and join in on the fun.
Hey, this is Zach Bagans from Ghost Adventures, and you are listening to the ghost host, Sophia Temporilli, on LiveParanormal.com.
Not only am I Dave Schrader, but I'm Dave Schrader of Travel Channel's The Holzer Files, and you're listening to Ghost Host Sophia Temporilli on LiveParanormal.com. I feel left out. I wanted to throw myself into your mix of voiceovers now.
I love it, you know. It's almost like we didn't leave break.
Poor Dave left out everything. I'm trying to unmute everybody right now, but here we go with Sophia. And also, Sophia had a paranormal club at school, and she got 70 members on the first day, and she had Amy Goodwin speak at her first meeting. And, okay, we got you all unmuted. You're on with Sophia.
Hey-o.
Hey, thank you again so much for coming on today.
Yeah.
Thank you for having us. We appreciate it. This has been fun.
And okay, so I know we talked a little bit about the sleepless unrest, but let's talk about both of you. What initially kind of drew your interest into the field of the paranormal as individuals? And then, you know, how did you guys kind of come together, you know, as a couple and realize, hey, we want to continue doing this?
Oh, my goodness. How long is your show? My Lord. We definitely need to write a book about it. As Kendall and I started interested in the topic since we were little kids, and the more we talk about it, the more we realize, my goodness, we had very similar lives growing up, although we grew up in different countries and in different cultures, really. For me, my parents, both of my parents actually grew up in haunted houses, both of them, and they were high school sweethearts, and I think they bonded at that age because they both started talking about their experiences in the houses growing up, and they found comfort in that. I think that was part of how they ended up dating, to be honest. And then, you know, many years later, they get married, and there I am and my siblings. And so they will get together with, you know, family gatherings and whatever. And I just knew every time towards the end of the parties, one uncle or somebody would always bring the topic up. And then they would go and start talking about it. And it was almost like they needed to, you know, almost like therapy. I can tell that it was interesting for them to see them talk about it and vent. Because things will be serious, you know. Sometimes they will laugh and make jokes and stuff to line things up. But a lot of my uncles are doctors, and, you know, I can tell back in the day, this would have been in the 80s. I don't think people were very open about paranormal events like they are now. So that's how it started for me. It was just amazing. It was all the time being exposed to, you know, seeing people's reactions and people's paranormal experiences. And I always wondered, you know, when I was young, like, would that happen to me too? You know, what's going on? But my house wasn't haunted, thank goodness, growing up. But I got to witness all the stories. My grandfather was a treasure hunter because out of living in a haunted house, that was the way that he coped with that. He thought, okay, well, if it's haunted, there's a ghost, and then there must be a treasure. So he literally dug holes in my grandma's house, and I remember my grandmother being serious about it because he was literally digging holes throughout the whole house, the first floor, looking for a treasure. And he never found anything other than bones. He found bones.
Wow.
In their house, which validated my mother's experiences. So I don't want to get into the story, but growing up, you know, years go by. This is a normal topic to talk about. Just much like you, every time I had homework, I would do an essay, a project. I always chose the paranormal, and I always did good also because teachers probably bored with everything else, you know, like all the other topics, and it was probably different for them. So I did good with it, and I had a really big imagination. So then later on, my father always talked about, he said, if there is life after that, I will do anything possible to come and tell you guys. So sure enough, in 2005, he passed away unexpectedly, and I wasn't even able to make it back home on time to say goodbye to him. He said goodbye to me on the phone, but I never made it back to see him alive before he passed away. So I was unsettled about that for a long time. Then one day, I was working in a nursing home and just not even thinking about him, anything, and I started smelling his cologne really strongly. He wore a Paco Rabanne, which is not a very common nowadays, and is, I think it's more common among older men. But I was in a nursing home, so I thought for sure somebody else was cologne here, and I thought, how great is it going to torture me because I'm thinking about him now. And I looked through my patient's drawer. Nobody was wearing that cologne, nobody. And then the cologne would go away. The smell of the cologne would go away, and then it would come back again, really, really strong. So anyway, that was all day. Towards the end of my shift, I go and help another nurse with an elderly female patient, and I'm helping her. You know, she's taking care of her. And then she says, it was after a shower. And then the nurse says, I'll be right back. I'm going to get more towels. She leaves, and I'm with the patient. The patient is catatonic towards the end stage of her life, never really spoke a word, at least no one I was there. Never looked at me. She wasn't very responsive. But out of nowhere, that particular morning, she decides to look up, and she says, your father is very handsome. And she smiles at me, and she looks to my left, and she just stares into my left shoulder, and she's nodding and smiling like she's, like, acknowledging or talking to someone. And I froze. I'm just like, oh,
wow,
God, my father is right here. My dad is right here. And I'm just like, What is he saying? And then she just went back into her state. And again, not looking at me, her eyes were gone. She wasn't responding. Then my nurse friend comes over. She's like, what's happening? Like, you okay? I must have been pale or something. I don't know. I was just in shock. I was in shock. And I couldn't even tell her because, you know, she was going to think I'm crazy. And I knew she wasn't going to believe me. And that story haunted me for a long time. Because how is that possible? I mean, was a patient perhaps psychic maybe, and I just didn't know? Was it a moment of what? Like, I just – anyway, that story right there is what got me into buying books and doing research, because I became obsessed with the fact that what if my dad is really trying to talk to me? And I don't know how. And I need to – what if he wants to tell me something that's important? And I just – I need to do my part. I need to help. And – then I ended up watching Ghost Hunters on TV, and I thought, for sure, I'm going to learn something here. And then I watched the commercial for Ghost Hunters Academy, and then I joined because I thought, for sure, I'm going to learn here something. I really thought it was an academy, by the way, which it wasn't. I knew very little about reality TV back in the day. I was very naive about that. But thank goodness I joined, because then I met my wonderful husband, Kendall Welpton, who happened to be working on the same show as a cameraman, and it was love at first sight. I saw him at the lobby the first day I arrived on set, and I remember looking at him thinking, oh, my goodness. Okay, there. I started slapping my hand and being like, yeah, I got to behave. I can't be getting distracted here. But it was impossible. You know, we were there, 3 months, kind of? I think we filmed for 3 months. It was 3 months. We became good friends, and after the shoot was over, you came over to Dallas, and we ended up hanging out. And after that, we never stopped hanging out. And that was – so the show ended in May. In August that same year, Kendall moved into my house in San Antonio. That's how crazy. That's how crazy we were.
It was just meant to be.
I know.
Oh, yeah.
But anyway, your turn, Kendall.
Oh, my gosh. This story is so awesome. I love it. Every time So me getting in the paranormal, much like Vera, I mean, like, my family was super into ghost stories. My grandma actually was subscribed to the Topps Paramag a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
And she used to have that, and she used to have all her, like, her books about, like, weird Illinois, you know, like, all these, you know, just the ghost story books. Every time we got together as a family, much like Vera, we ended up talking about my uncle's haunted house and some of the activity that's recently happened there. And, you know, that was always an interest for us. I used to play the Ouija board with my cousin in that haunted house. back then when, you know, it was just a Parker Brothers game. Later on in life, I was always like an outdoor cat, like just outside going on adventures, like living by like skateboarding and BMXing. And like, we would go and tell our parents that we're staying over at each other's house, but then we'd go and sleep in like a tunnel right between two super old graveyards, you know, and we would do, mm-hmm. we'd go and get into some of these old buildings and sleep in them. And like, it was just always an adventure for us. You know, we didn't know about ghost hunting back then, but we probably would have done it if we knew about it. So that's kind of how I grew up. But when I left New York, when I graduated high school and went to the mountains in Colorado, I went to Colorado to try to become a professional snowboarder, actually, and ended up working in a snowboard factory way up in the mountains, like 10,000 feet up a little town called Fairplay. Well, my roommate and I, we moved into a house, and the first night when we moved in, my sleeping bag, and there was no windows in our room, the door was closed, and didn't even have a bed yet. I'm in my sleeping bag, and all of a sudden this cold, super big gust of cold breeze just comes flying over my head, ruffles my sleeping bag, and immediately I'm just like, oh my God, that was a ghost. And I take my sleeping bag and I put my head under it, and I didn't sleep that night. I was like, oh my gosh, this place is crazy. So I start asking about the house. I'm like, what is up with this house? Like, I think I had a paranormal experience at my job. And they're like, oh, you mean the old hospital? And I was like, what? Mm-hmm. Hospital? Like, that's crazy. No, it's an apartment. Well, we found out that it was an old mining hospital that had been converted over to apartments. So, like, it was really weird. Like, you'd walk through a hallway, and then there'd be a boarded up a hallway, and that was to the next apartment. So it was all open at one point. And it was an old hospital, mm-hmm. and like, I'll never forget when I was doing my laundry down in the basement, I'm looking at this table down there, and I'm like, what the heck is that thing? It looks so different than like a normal table. It's all thick and it's got a gutter on there. And I'm like, oh my gosh, that's the mortician's table. That's an embalming table. And then there, I look down at the floor, and there's like this little drain in the floor, in the middle of the floor over there. It was interesting. I mean, one of the rooms that you go in, it was like a little closet. Like, it had a lead wall. So that's probably where early days of like X-rays were done.
Mm-hmm.
So I moved into this place, lots of activity, had a very profound paranormal experience there. That paranormal experience that I had at that house got me to apply later on down the line when I was living in Los Angeles, trying to be a cameraman, an editor, anything in production. I applied for a job that says ghost hunting show gearing up quick. And I was like, yeah, that's right up my alley. I love the topic. I love haunted stuff. So I applied, I got an interview, and I got hired, and it was Ghost Hunters season 2 early on. I got on for the Halloween special at the Sorrell Weed House we did. That was my first case in Savannah, Georgia. And, the rest is history. I stayed on the series for many, many years. Just did the reboot for A&E. Ghost Brothers. I mean, I got into it very, very deep into the filming of the paranormal shows. And that's where, what Vera had said earlier, that's where Vera and I met. And so, thank God, I got the opportunity to be on the show, Ghost Hunters Academy with Vera, because it's just been an amazing, amazing experience. I feel like we were brought together, like you said, with purpose. And then, you know, later on down the line, we have kids and now a business. Robot Ninja Media was born in 2017. We created that business to further our love for ghost stories and in production and branded content and documentary. And, you know, later after that, right away, Steve Gonzalez gives us a call and we start the process of making our first documentary together, Vera, Steve, and I, with Robot Ninja. And that's The House in Between. Yeah. And now The Sleepless in Rest. So yeah, in a nutshell, that's kind of our story.
Well, it's amazing, you know, how you guys came together. I mean, I think it's really amazing the way you guys met. It's a really cute story, you know, when you're a paranormal investigator. Most people will be like, that's strange, but I'm like, oh, that's sweet. But yeah, it's funny though that you said you lived in like an old hospital. You're like, hey, what's up with my apartment building? Everyone's like, oh, the hospital? And you're like, no, my apartment building. And they're like, yeah, the hospital.
Yeah, that was a shock to me. I definitely didn't expect that. I was living in an old hospital. They didn't disclose that when we signed the lease.
Yeah, you're folding your clothes on that table down there in the basement.
Yeah, yeah, that was a good table to stage your dry laundry.
Oh, yeah, but did they ever clean it? That's my first thought.
Oh,
I hope
probably not. I don't know.
Yeah,
oh, that person's
like,
dingy down there.
I doubt they clean the table, and I just think about germs all the time. I'm like a terrible investigator. I'm like, oh, dirt. But yeah, I mean, that's amazing that happened. It makes me think of Linda Vista Hospital down here in LA. That was, you know, a really big hospital. Now it's like a retirement old folks home, and I'm like,
oh,
wow, if there's one place I wouldn't want to live. I feel like if there's an old person saying, hey, I see something, people are going to be like, yeah, sure. And I'm just like, I feel like that makes it even worse. So, yeah, I feel bad. I don't know about the people living there, but I feel bad for them. I know we're coming towards the end of the show, though. Are there any websites, upcoming interviews, or events you would like to mention?
Just this, go check out The Sleepless Unrest. Vera and I are very proud of the film. We worked very hard on it. It's a really good look at what it's like to go into an investigation. And if you've ever wondered what it's like to stay at the Conjuring House, the real Conjuring House, the house that inspired the franchise, this is the film you want to see. You can get it on iTunes, Amazon, Vimeo, Vudu, YouTube, Redbox, Google Play, Fandango Now, Microsoft, PlayStation. And yeah, find us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. It's The Sleepless Unrest. And yeah, let us know what you think. We're very active in our responses and comments, and we love talking to everybody.
We love hearing stories. Yes, we love hearing from you guys. And just I'm getting a lot of people just telling me their childhood stories because of a particular scene from the film. I love that. I love that they can have an outlet or someone to talk to about something unsettling. I'm getting a lot of videos, creepy videos of people's evidence. One that we're trying to figure it out right now. So anyway, yes, we're pretty open. We love to hear from you guys, from everyone.
Well, I can't wait to see what you guys make next, and I want to thank you guys so much again for coming on today. It's great talking to you, as always.
Yeah, thanks,
Sophia.
Oh,
it's our pleasure.
Yeah.
Our pleasure to be here. We enjoy this so much.
Well, you guys are welcome back anytime, and yeah, thank you again. Everyone, make sure to check out The Sleepless Unrest and also The House in Between.
Thank you so much. Yeah, appreciate it.
All right, thanks,
okay,
guys.
Thanks, guys. Have a great rest of your weekend.
You too.
You too.
Same touch.
Thank you. Wow, congratulations. It's amazing. I mean, they do. They literally go under the house, in the well, everything. It's just like they don't leave any stone unturned. Congratulations, Sophie, on 10 years of broadcasting. A fantastic show today.
Thank you. I want to thank you all for listening. This should definitely not be possible without all of you. I want to thank Kendall and Vera for coming on today. They're great guests as always, and I will talk to you guys again next week. Bye.
Yeah, and two, in the Rhode Island area for next Saturday, the screening of Sleepless Unrest, and as well, too, next Friday the 13th, there's going to be a camp out with the entire cast, and it's that's amazing, too, as well, at the Conjuring House. And everyone, visit thesleeplessunrest.com for all the formats, too, to view it on, too, as well. Numerous ways to watch this as well. So thesleeplessunrest.com, thesleeplessunrest.com, Facebook at The Sleepless Unrest, Twitter at Sleepless Unrest, at Kendall Welpton, at Vera Welpton, and also, too, any postings that you do, hashtag Sleepless Unrest. Also on YouTube, check out the trailer, too, as well. You know, just beforehand, you can visit Robot Ninja Media on the search for YouTube. Also upcoming, we have My Entertainment Podcast. That's right, you know, same production group as Destination Fear and Ghost Adventures, My Entertainment Podcast. It's brand new. The development executive, Rob Cohen, will be on the program next Saturday. Also, OC Paracon founder Henry San Miguel will be on the program on the 28th. For the California event, it's going to be October 1st and 2nd, so visit ocparacon.com. That's ocparacon.com. As well, psychic author Sky Ray promotes her new book on the program, Find Your Voice in the Darkness. That'll be September 11th. We have other people that are booking their dates to come on the show, too, as well. So like the ghost host, Sophia Temporelli, on liveparanormal.com to find out guests as we learn of them real time. Great show today, everybody, and we'll see you next week.
Hi, this is Debbie at Xeon Ghost Adventures. You're listening to the Ghost Host with your host, Sophia Temporelli, on liveparanormal.com.
God bless you all.
Thank you for joining us on History FM Radio on liveparanormal.com and history.fm. From paranormal to the unexplained history, it all happens here. Looking to enhance your radio experience? Participate in live interactive chat 24/7 with our radio show hosts and other like-minded people on www.liveparanormal.com. The only interactive social chat room supported by full interactive media. Stop by now and join in on the fun.